I'm going to take this really slowly today, okay? Not because you're thick, but because I really need you to get what I'm going to talk about over the next few weeks. I'm going to straddle over two series. I'm finishing This Is Love today, and then next week I start a brand new series, which I'm not giving you the title of because I do not want you to switch off to what I'm saying today. But what I'm doing is I'm laying foundations, and foundations are really important because if you don't have proper foundations, you can't build anything. Now, what I'm going to talk about is intensely practical, and it's going to challenge you. Some of you are going to struggle, and that's okay. Some of you are going to discover for the first time why there is, in a church that preaches grace, little experience in your life. Ooh. Some of you are going to understand, maybe for the first time, what the nature of God's grace looks like and how you apply it and how you walk into it. Because what I have found in my life many times, and this is the slowest I've ever spoken, so if you're a visitor, I don't normally speak this slowly. I'm normally a bit more animated, but I really need you to get it. And I'll probably get excited a wee bit through the talk, and it'll all go out the window. And if that's the case, please go online and watch it again. Because what I'm going to talk today about is to start and talk about faith. And in the church today, what happens is there's two big camps. There's, particularly in our world, well, there's three camps. There's the people who just put everyone under law, and they beat people up for Jesus, keep them condemned, keep them manipulated, keep them controlled. Don't let them dream too much. Just remember to tell them that God's just a wee bit upset because it keeps them coming back. Then you have the grace people, that's us, who believe that it's all about the work of Jesus and everything that you can do is, like it says in Isaiah, filthy rags before God. So you better throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus and receive his work and let him transform you from the inside out because that's the way to live. And then there's this, the faith camp. I'm not going to name any of those televangelists, but you know the ones, reach out and touch the screen. I was going to have my own line of Andrew Toogood miracle water, where I would get penny all day just to stand at the top, right? And, oh, pray a wee blessing over that. Right, buck that out at 100 quid, love. And we are for it. All you need to do is wash your hair in Andrew's miracle water. And if you're bald, your hair will grow. Christmas gypsy, there's the man, Paul Elliott. I can see you running to the front here, okay? And or a miracle hanky. I'm going to get miracle hankies. There's people who are selling miracle hankies. Easy for me to say. Because all you need is faith. You just really believe, and then it'll happen. And both of those things are a wee bit screwed up. There's a relationship between grace and faith, actually, that releases you into everything that God talks about. And it's really important that you understand that in your life, if there's nothing faulty with the promise of God. There's nothing lacking in the work of Jesus. And so what we need to do is very, very carefully dissect the Word of God and say, well, listen, the danger is that whenever we preach faith, it becomes works if it's not rooted in grace. But unless you really understand that faith is an integral part of how you live, you will forever be frustrated. Does that make sense? But the danger is we flip. As soon as we start to say, this is what it looks like, if our heart is not grounded in love and grace, we flip into works. And then all of a sudden it doesn't work anyway and you put yourself back under law. You become bewitched, as Paul said to the Galatians. Who's putting you back under law, you numpties? Did I not preach a different gospel? And he goes into all that. Do you understand? So that's why you've got to listen really carefully. Does everybody get that as an intro? It goes across a whole new series which starts next week. And I'm going to put it on the interweb this week as to what that series is. And we'll see how we go with it. Now, here's the key. Open your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, bring a Bible. And we're going to have a big gold star chart like P1. And if you don't bring your Bible, you'll not get your star and your bag of Haribos at Christmas. So Hebrews 10:38 says this. Now, the just, that's you and me, shall live, Zoa in Greek, experience God's gift of life. That's what it means, by faith. The word is pistis. And there's your, I'm giving you references and everything this morning. The just, you and me, we are called to live by what? By law? No. By legalism? No. We are called to access grace through faith. Now, faith, you're going to discover, looks like something. In the book of James, I'm going to cover this. It says that if you have faith without works, it's dead. So here's the rub for people who live under grace. It looks like something to you. The application of grace in your life looks like you doing something, but it looks like you doing something because God has said and not because you're trying to get anything from God. Everybody with me? But make no bones about it. And I think actually we've been missing this. God has been speaking to me like mega clearly. So this is not just teaching for the sake of it. This is a now word of God for you and for me, and actually for this church. It's that if we just think that we are a people of grace who will float around with the grace message pumping around our heads, but we don't actually take steps of faith to apply what Jesus has done, you will never access the work of Jesus in fullness. But let me say it again, the danger is, unless we get grounded in love, you will flip back into law, and I don't want that to happen. Does that make sense? So here's the rub, the key to it all, the key to your life is living by faith. Now, I'm not going to be selling miracle water or, you can sell loads of things, man, I tell you. All I have to do is rub myself with a dishcloth and put them online and people buy them. Not that I've done that, but if you're interested, www.holycloths.com and stock up for Christmas, great gifts. Just kidding. Now, whenever you hear by faith, here's the problem. The first thing that comes out into your heart says, oh no, all my worst fears are true. I don't have enough faith. I can't do this. If this is about me really believing for something, I get so afraid. So I'm going to talk about money as an example, and you're going to say, oh no, I don't have faith for that. I don't have faith for money. I mean, I'm going to trust God for everything else in my life, but I'm not going to trust him for money. And what I'm going to show you is if you compartmentalize your life like that, you never walk into freedom. Because trust for God is trust. He says, trust me in all things, improve me and test me in everything, actually, he says, in particular in that area. Now, here's the nature of faith. If it starts in you, and if it originates in you, and if it's about you gritting your teeth and trying to do better for the Lord, then you're in trouble because it doesn't work. You've got to understand that the nature of applying grace, the steps of faith that need to be taken, the ability has been given to you by God already. You're not asking God for faith. You're saying, God, you have already equipped me with faith. Now, this is a big introduction, and I'm going to get into the detail. The nature of faith in the Bible has been misunderstood. It doesn't originate in you. It is not generated by you. It is not created by you. So the good news for this morning is you are forever free worrying about if you have enough faith. You already have been given it. Why? Because faith is not human power. It is not psychological power. It is not like the force, like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda, by which you make things happen. You cannot scrunch your eyes up, grit your teeth, cross your fingers and your toes and call that faith. That is not faith. And if you have been trying to apply the promises of God in faith by scrunching up your eyes, saying just quoting scriptures left, right, and center, and praying that somehow God will miraculously do something, probably it's not going to work for you. The words that are used for faith here, the just, you and me, will live by faith. Pistis in Greek comes from a root petho, and it simply means this. It is a trust and a deep conviction. It is an assurance that God is totally true, that he is totally dependable. God is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. And it is not in your power to make things happen, but the trust and the assurance that God has given you is that he has made it happen already. You get it? It's always a gift from God. It's never anything that you produce. So when preachers tell you to have more faith, when they tell you that you're afraid, that the antidote is faith, they are wrong. The antidote to fear in your life, we're going to discover, is more love, and the fruit of that is faith. You see, whenever I know that somebody really loves me, I will believe what they say. Whenever I doubt that they love me, then, do you know when somebody says, I really love you, and then they talk about you behind your back, and then they come back and say, I really love you, and you go, no, you don't, you slapper, because you were gossiping about me. Anyone? Or you know the way we say, people say they love us and then they let us down and so that undermines us and we go, well, I don't really know because you said that you loved and you want me to believe in you and just trust me, bro, just trust me. But you let me down. You understand that faith and believing in someone, whether it's God or anyone else, is grounded in love. When you have a deep assurance and a deep conviction in your heart that God is good all of the time, the fruit of that will be faith. Belief that he will do what he says he will do and he is who he is. Do you understand that? So the foundation is love. I'm not going to tell you to have more faith because according to the word of God, you've been given faith. It is God's gift in you. Whenever you were regenerated and you were born again and you were made new, the part of your inheritance right now was God says, you have faith, the measure of it given to you. Do you understand that? And so what we're going to discover is this. If that is true, the issue is not that we don't have enough, and so we have to go on this lifelong journey of taking little baby steps with Jesus, or do we just simply take God at his word and say, God, you have given me the ability to choose according to your promise, so today my decision is this, I choose according to what you say. Because that's how we're called to live. And we need to demystify faith. You know, faith is like for those people who have beards, who can stroke beards. And they just go, oh, the Lord, just give me a picture of people in custard and there's sharks swimming all around them. But the Lord says, just believe. And it seems so mysterious and out there and wacky. And you're like, what the heck? You have got faith. The moment you came to be regenerated by the Spirit of God, you have it in you already. Why? Because it's God's gift. So what we find is, we find that people go in their lives, I don't have faith. And what we're actually trying to say is, no, you've got a lack of love. You're not convinced that God really loves you, because if you're really convinced that he loved you, you'd be able to take all the steps of faith that you needed. Why? Because it's already there. Do you get me? You see, this is going to take away the excuses in my life for my inactivity. I am the greatest procrastinator at times that God ever put on his green earth. And what I've understood is that's nothing but fear in my life. So let's not have any more heads bowed. Let's not have any condemnation that we don't have faith, that it's not as good as the person on the TV, because somehow it is our burden. God has made numerous promises over your life today regarding the power of faith. He says that faith can move mountains, faith can heal diseases, faith can receive answers to prayer, that nothing is impossible if you will simply believe. And many will know the power of faith. Many will have heard this before, but you're still not seeing the results in your life. Well, we're going to change that. And that's why I'm saying you've got to have an open heart over these next few weeks. Have you been frustrated with your faith life? Is your faith not working the way the Bible promises it should? Well, let's say what Galatians 5 verse 6 says. It says that for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. But listen up. But only faith, believing God, trusting God, having assurance that God is for us, is activated and it's energized and expressed and it works through love. Do you get me? If you have a problem this morning believing for God, it's not that you need to go to God and say, give me more faith. God, give me more faith. Make me more faithful. He says that actually belief in God and assurance, and I'm starting to get excited, calm down. But honestly, what he says is go and your belief in God is energized. It comes to life. It is expressed how? Through a revelation of agape love. The more you know you're loved, the more you spend time dwelling, not on having more faith, but having more love in your life. The more you spend on understanding your identity as a son or a daughter, the more time you spend in the promises of God saying, this is his word to me because I am his son. Do you know what happens? It springs up in your life. Belief and action. Many of us try the belief or the action without the strong foundation of love, and then we get disappointed because you cannot twist God's arm. Many people use faith to manipulate God and say, well, God, he's like some celestial one-armed bandit machine. I'll throw a couple of pounds in and sure, hundredfold return, isn't that right? I'm believing, Lord, hallelujah, oh, and all that. But you don't pull it, it doesn't work. You get disappointed. Why? Because that's human psychological faith. It is not rooted and grounded in love. Revelation of the Father's love brings about the fruit of faith in your life. So I'm telling you, if there's something in your life today and you're going, I am really struggling, God, to say, are you real and are you true? Because this has not worked for me or it's not worked in my family. The issue is this. You don't need more faith to believe. You need more love in your life. Does that make sense? It's a good word. Frees you. Notice that faith is activated, energized through love. If your faith is dead, disappointed, and inactive, your faith might be like a dead battery, unable to produce any power. Why? Because belief in God, leading to appropriate action based on his promise, is energized and comes to life through revelation that you are a son loved by God wholly. I've been saying for, I don't know, years, that love is what makes faith work. Love is what makes faith work. Without love, your faith is dormant. We've been saying that the more you experience the love of God, the more that you'll be full of God. There is length and breadth and depth and height, so much more to be discovered, but not in a mental sense, in a cerebral sense, but in a life experience sense. I want to say that I am, God has spoken to me. You know, in Penny and I's life, if I could chart my journey on a graph, I'll try and do it that way for you. Okay? It started off, you know, about 8 or 9 years ago. The Lord really spoke to us about really taking God at his word. You know, we were coming through the whole thing of not having children, and we saw God move in that, and God said, you're only scratching the surface. You know, kids are fine. You know, kids is one thing, but I have so much more. Plus, I want to call you to lead other people into their breakthroughs. And we were like, okay, so we needed to take steps of faith. And do you know what has happened to Penny and I? And we've talked about it ad nauseum, me and the missus, over these last couple of weeks. Disappointment, battering, all of the stuff that everyone has to walk through, and we've been no different. Ours has been a bit more public. But it eats away, and it decimates, actually, your trust that God is good when you have to walk through disappointment. And you have to walk through hurt and pain. And the Lord has really been speaking to me and saying, Andrew, you don't need more faith again for church or for anything else. You need to have a revelation of love again, and just say this. As I show you that I love you and your family and your church, it's time for you all to put that into action. Not to get from me, but because I've already done. So it's going to look like something, and we're going to get into that next week. I don't want to talk about it. I remember going to Alcatraz, not from the inside. I did visit the inside, but I wasn't in it. We were having a wee trip around it on a boat. Everywhere Penny and I go on holiday, we always end up having a boat trip, and Penny hates them. So every photo that I have of Penny, there's me standing. You know, in San Francisco, particularly in the evenings, can get very cold and wet and windy. Lovely during the day, and then it goes like minus 20 at night. It's a weird place. But we were out in this boat trip around Alcatraz, and Penny, you can't actually see, you just see the Penny's eyes like that. She's got her hood right up like this, freezing cold with the rain blattering her. But I was taking photos because we were on our holidays and we were going to take it. And God spoke to me about, you know, as we went around Alcatraz, what it would be like to be living on an island, looking out at freedom. Because when you're on Alcatraz and we went to see it, you look back over San Francisco, for those of you who don't know where it is. And I thought, what would it be like to be living in a cell, day after day, night after night, night after night, looking at something, but knowing you could never get there? That would kill me. And the Lord said, well, in a spiritual sense, Andrew, that's the way many people live. It's like living on Alcatraz. You look back out to San Francisco, and it looks bright, it looks shiny, but it looks inaccessible. Why? Because we haven't quite understood the relationship between God supplying blessing and our faith to access it. And so, I believe that when you live in God's love, it will mean more faith and more freedom in your life, and it will mean progress. Wherever God's love flows, there's freedom. There's freedom from the past. There's freedom from hurt, from pain, from guilt, from disappointment, from addiction, from sickness, from hopelessness, from bondage, for it all. And many times God says the way you're going to access that is through your faith. This is going to challenge some of you. Because I've said, I think this. Love is not a concept. Whenever I say you need more love in your life, it's not, you need more Jesus in your life, because love is not a concept, love is a person. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The word truth here is aletheia. And it means to live me. In John 8:32, he said, you'll know the truth. That means you will experience the truth, aletheia, and the truth shall make you free. So what he said, Jesus says here in John 14 is, I am the truth. I am love. I am the truth. And then he says, when you experience me, Jesus, the same word, aletheia, you will be set free. Some of us have taken faith and grace as concepts, nothing more than theological argument, and forgotten that actually underneath it all, you're called to a relationship with Jesus. When was the last time you sat down and talked to Jesus about you and your life? When was the last time you sat down? Was it this week, last week, or should we just move on and pretend? Because this is all introduction for next week's series. The thing I want to say to you is this, that you can't have a relationship with a set of ideas. You have a relationship with a person. If you have a relationship with a set of ideas, whether it's grace, faith, or love, or with anything, it will never change you. Because he doesn't say here, if he wanted to say, the truth shall set you free. He would have used talking about your head, he would have used the word gnosis in Greek. He didn't. He said, if you really want to be free, if you want to know, he used the word gnosko. You're going to experience me, the truth. He didn't say, know me. He said, know me. And I want to encourage you. I talk a lot about grace, and I talk a lot about faith, and I talk about love in this church. But we're not talking about having a relationship with a concept. We're having a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to challenge you. When was the last time you built your relationship with him? Oh, don't put me under law. No. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Why? Because faith looks like something. It looks like action. James 2, faith without works is dead. So you can say all you want. You can spout all you want, to be honest. I am filled with people who know all the Christian talk, all the words, all the forms of words, all the church systems in and out. It's time to get back to that place where we have a relationship with Jesus and not with theology. Why? Because Jesus will set you free. Jesus will bring about the faith that you need to see breakthrough in your life. And you can't, like I said, you can't have a relationship with concept. Whatever's bound you in life will be broken when you have a fresh experience and a revelation and you feel the freedom of Jesus. Now, what I'm not saying is go and buy every other day with Jesus notes, you know, or every third day with Jesus, every now and again with Jesus. I keep saying that is going to be the best-selling line of Bible notes because it's so honest, isn't it? Just when you feel like it with Jesus. I would pick those up. When you're in trouble with Jesus, you know, it's like, when you need money, you can have a whole series. And I bet you they would sell like hotcakes, all right? I'm not going to suggest that right now, but I'm going to talk about that in the weeks to come. Let me encourage you. I've got a few minutes. In Galatians 5:1, Galatians 5:13, and John 8:36, it talks about your freedom. It says, for you, brethren, and Presbyterians and Methodists, boom, 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 shh, have been called to liberty. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about steps to freedom, practical things in a very practical area of your life. And I want you to understand that the fear that will come up in you will be, I can't do it. I've tried to do it in the past. I don't believe that I have enough faith for this. And what I'm trying to say to you today is this, that there is freedom and there is life for you. There is breakthrough for you when you experience Jesus and you start to take appropriate action to access grace. I'm going to use lots of... The spirit of Wayne Mulholland has come upon me in my preparation for the next few weeks. And I will have, like, what do you call those? Visuals. Everything, honestly. I'm going to use practical things and you're going to go, isn't that amazing? And all the rest of it. And I'm going to take it really slow. One thing I'm going to say to finish this series is this. I'm going to read Galatians 5, verses 1 to 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Simply what he means is this. That Jesus, whenever you were regenerated and reborn and made new again, made you free in that instant. Completely and utterly free in the inside. Now, don't go back under law. That's what he's saying. Do not allow your heart and your head to go back to a place where what you do earns anything from God. That's called slavery, and that is a bondage that will kill you. However, what he's going to explain to us is this, and this is where we hold the word of God in tension, that it is possible that we can take steps in our lives, practical things that we do, that is not bondage. You understand that? Which is not trying to get something from God, but because God has done. So he warns us, don't let anyone put you back under slavery. To be honest, I think in a church like us, that's mostly ourselves that do it, because we don't preach it from the front. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What he's trying to say there is this. If it's about you and what you do for God, if faith is about you mustering it up, scrunch it actually... You know, the work of Jesus is nothing to you. It's almost like he's saying, choose which way you're going to go. Is it Christ and his work, or is it you and yours? Because you can't mix the two. You get that? Do you know, when I look at my life, I see time and time again how many times I say, God, you have done. Now, thanks very much, but now I really need to help you with that, God. And I'm going to do this. And sometimes in my heart, even this morning, I had to catch myself on and say, wise up. Because I was saying, Lord, do you know what the thought came into my head? Lord, you're going to do this because this week Penny and I arranged something. And the Lord said to me, shut up. Well, he didn't say it quite like that, but it was kind of the sense of he was like, shut up, Andrew. I don't work anyway in your life because of you. I do it because I love you first. Hello? Do you want to get somebody else to preach the word this morning? Because clearly you're not getting it. He didn't actually say that. He was much more loving. What he's saying is, what you're going to find is Christ's way or your way, but don't try to mix the two. Why? You put yourself back under law. I'm going to really challenge you, in this, particularly next week. It's great stuff. I have felt something break in my heart since Monday morning as I've thought about this next series, actually. I felt a freedom start to come back into my life as I plotted the graph of my life over the last number of years. The Lord, I just felt like an awakening again to something which is really, 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 really cool. And I'm preaching it different than what I preached it a few years ago. You've become estranged from Christ. You who have attempted to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. That doesn't mean you've fallen out of love with God. It just means you've fallen out of standing before God with nothing else but Jesus. For we through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails for anything. But what? Faith working through love. Faith working through love. So what I'm going to say is this. That over the next, here's your homework for this week. Get back on track with your relationship with Jesus. If you and Jesus are the best friends ever, good, I'm glad to hear it. Because what we're going to discover is this. What we need to release in our lives is not more of us, but we're going to have to stand on our relationship and the promise that God speaks over us in order to take the steps of faith that he's going to ask you to take. Because he's going to ask some of you next week to radically change the way that you've been living. And you'll discover more next week. He's going to ask you to do that. And what he's going to say is, you'll either go back to law and you'll go back to legalism. And you'll crap yourself, to be quite honest. I'm going to speak really honestly because this is about freedom. And you'll be back under law and it'll not work. Or you'll feel afraid and you'll say, God, I can't. And the Lord will say, but I've given you faith already. I honestly believe that this is going to break and bring about incredible freedom in some people. In fact, in everybody, if you will let it. He says, stand firm in the liberty that Christ has made you free. Stand firm. You have to exert an effort to stay in the love of God. Do you understand that? You have to exert an effort. In Jude 1:21, it says, guard and keep yourselves in what? In faith? No. In the love of God. Some of you this week are going to have to do something different than what you did the week coming in. It's not about exerting effort to get free, but because you want to stay free and you're already free. In 1 Timothy 6:12, he says this, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on to eternal life to which you were called, and you've confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let me just Greek this up for you very quickly. Fight, it means labor fervently to stay in trust and confidence that God is who he says he is. And he says, seize eternal life. You know, some of you, eternal life is passing you by. And what I mean is this, the fullness of God and the love of God and the promise of God passes you by. Why? Because God doesn't want to bless you, because God has left you out, because God is counting sin against you. No, because some of you just aren't seizing it. Because some of you are not taking it with both hands and saying, I'm going to stand firm. I will be disappointed. The devil will accuse me. The devil will come against me. I will experience hardship maybe, and I will experience something inside which I don't really like. I'll be fearful. I'll be anxious. And all of this stuff will come up in me. But God has told me to stand. He's told me to be firm. He's told me to depend on him and say, God, your promise is true above everything else. And so I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to seize and I'm going to take hold of this life that he has for me. Because if I don't do that, not to get from God, because he said he's already done it. And so some of you this week need to exert some effort. Some of you are going to have to do that. I'm not saying expect bad things. Expect goodness. Expect favor. Expect health and promotion. Expect blessing, peace, joy, and prosperity. Expect your healing. But don't be surprised when opposition comes. Because the devil will still come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the point is this. If you will keep yourself in the love of God, if you will keep yourself mindful that you're a son and a daughter, if you will exert some effort not to let every day just go past and go, yeah, well, crawl into bed at 11 o'clock and go, ah, well, that was another day. But you will get up in the morning with the mindset that if God is for you, nothing will be against you, that I will fill my mind with the truth that I am loved and accepted, that I will declare over me and my family that we are blessed beyond all measure, that we have provision and health, and I will exert an effort to speak the words of God and to speak the life of God. And I will stand in liberty knowing that I will never go back under law because it will kill me. I believe God will do something. Do you get me? But you've got to make an effort. Not legalism, but because you are free. Because you have faith. There's no neutral. There's always positive momentum required in your life. You will fight a battle every day. There will be no respite to it, and I am learning this. But the discipline is this. Keep yourself mindful that you are loved. Keep yourself in the love of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues every morning, every day, and every night. Keep yourself focused and seize the life that God has for you. Because, church, it's time for us to seize it, and it's going to require that you change the way that you're living. Is anybody up for it? Because if you keep doing, what is it the business people tell you? Keep doing what you've always done and you'll always get what you've got right now. And I believe the Lord's saying, we are going to take steps of faith. And some of you will go, oh, he's putting us under law. I thought we were meant to be free. I thought grace meant I could do whatever the heck I wanted. Well, in one sense, yes, but don't expect fullness. You're going to be challenged and called out to put your money where your mouth is, literally and figuratively, to say, God, if you are true, if you're do you know what I am sick of personally, Andrew? Sick about me? I'm sick of living that in a way that if God's promise is true or not, it doesn't really matter. I'm tired of that for me. I'm tired of that for my family. I want to live in such a way, and this is what God has. Penny and I took such huge steps of faith. Even the fact you're sitting in a church today is a huge step of faith whenever we left employment and all sorts of stuff. But way, way more than that, and I'll bring some of that stuff in the next few weeks. But I want to live my life in such a way that if the grace of God is not true and the love of God is not true, that actually I'm in trouble. I don't want to play a game anymore. Do you know what I mean? God has said to me, are you really prepared to go out on the branch and on the limb? Because that's where the best fruit is. Or does it not really matter to you whether my promise is true or not? Because you've got it all covered anyway. And the Lord really spoke to me about such a challenge. Not a heavy thing. It was like, oh, I lit up. I was like, okay, God, there's a challenge for me right there. So what you're saying to me, God, is my life right now looks, for the most part, like it doesn't really matter whether your promise of provision or whatever is true because my life will keep going the way it goes anyway. And he said, I called you for so much more, you numpty. Me and the Lord have been having, he's been really speaking to me in a really good way. He said, I've called you for so much more. Now, why don't you live your life in faith that if I don't come through my promise, that you're going to sink. But you know what? You might as well sink anyway, because if God's not true, then what's the point? Do you get me? Shake out the dust. Shake out the whatever, God. Take you or leave you. It doesn't really matter. We're called for more. And it's going to require you to exert some effort. But I promise you what the Lord has said to me through the word and he's sent over you, there is beyond anything. This is where it's God can do immeasurably more than you could ever hope. He could to establish something incredible in your life, in this city and in this nation, that is way beyond what we could ever dream of. But you know what it starts with? I'm going to do this because you said so. Holy smokes. I'm preaching good this morning, aren't I? Yeah? That sounded a wee bit sort of colored right there, but you know what I mean? I was preaching good, boy. I love it. Faith without love is meaningless. This is the biggest introduction I've ever done. If I have all faith that I could move mountains, but I have not love, I've got nothing. Isn't that an amazing verse? All the faith, but no love, it's not worth anything. You're going to find that love is the opposite of fear. So if you have been afraid to to trust God, it's not that you need more faith, you need more love. Why? Because faith is not the opposite of fear. Love is the opposite of fear. Why? 1 John 4:18, love casts out fear. Everyone, for the most part, people have been taught, well, you're afraid, just have more faith, brother. Muster it up. Speak the word and all that. God says, that's fine. Let's have a heart foundation of love. Agape, Father's love in your heart, giving you assurance. And I'm finished now. When God's love has done his work in you, there's no room for fear. It's booted out because the fear of torment and punishment goes. And you're free to let faith rise. When you receive the love of God and let it do the perfect work that God requires in you, you're no longer tormented by the ideas that God is punishing you or unhappy with you. When you're free to live and act out of love, it makes your faith meaningful and effective. Many people say this, if I had more faith, then I would see God move more, and then I would love him more. If I had more faith, I would see God move more, and therefore that would encourage me, and I would love God more. That is totally the wrong way around. Do you get me? If I have more love, I will have more faith, and I will see God do more. That's the right way around. It doesn't start with you, it starts with him. Do you get it? Oh, man. So say that again. Most of us live like, if I had more faith, I would do more, see God more, and then I would love God more because I would see him move and that would encourage me. Wrong. Start with God and go the other way. If I had more of God, I would take more steps of faith. Do you get me? It's good. Faith works through love. If your faith is weak, if you feel like you can't break out of the patterns that you've lived in for the last umpteen years, here's my encouragement. Get yourself centered on your love relationship with Jesus Christ. Open his word. Read his promises. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. Allow him to wash over you and encourage you. And get a foundation of love in your life. Yeah? Because then faith will be the fruit. Stand with me. This is what you do. This is what you do.